Welcome to the OA Light a Candle Meeting podcast. Visit our website at www.oalaig.org, where you'll find three separate speaker feeds with over 200 speaker files, forms for ordering CDs, and a place to donate to keep the special service active. I would now like to introduce our speaker for tonight, Sally.
Hi, I'm Sally, compulsive overeater. Hi, everybody. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad you're here. And, I'm glad I know what I am today. And I'm glad you do, too. And thanks for inviting me to come here. Sorry we're late. We got caught in the traffic. And I was in Catalina this morning. I'm in the food business, of course. And, so I have a couple little restaurants over there, and I got on the 2 o'clock boat, and then we started coming here, and here we are. And what a miracle to be here, and to not be struggling with weight today, and that the weight is part of the problem, but mainly it's that terrible obsession that something's going to fix how I feel. Something on the outside is going to fix my insides. And, I like to say I was born hungry, and I was, food was my first love. It's the way that my family showed love. When I was a little girl, that's how they showed me that they loved me. You know, my mom started off, and my dad was an eater, and my grandmother was an eater, and my grandmother was 5 feet tall and weighed 200 pounds. And that's what how she showed that love, and it worked for me. I got it. And they showed the same love to my sister, but my sister was a skinny little thing, and she was skinny and I was not. I liked fat. I liked the fat on ham. She didn't even like ham, and I like to say, that as I got older, we learn manners, and when we go out, we're supposed to take the portion closest to us when it's handed to us. And my dad, being an eater, he could spot the biggest portion from across the room, and so could I, And so when he'd pass the plate to me, he'd turn it so the biggest one would be towards me, And I knew that he loved me, And we used to go to my grandparents' house, and my dad would say, "You won't believe how much chicken Sally could eat," And I would thought, "That's a really good thing. Well, I can eat a lot of chicken." Just wait, And often, and as I got older, often, like Thanksgiving, if I was making Thanksgiving, by the time I got to the tables, I was already full. I'd already eaten my meal. I didn't think there was much wrong with that, really. And as I got older, then my mom had my thyroid checked. My mom wasn't an eater like my dad and I. And I did have an underactive thyroid, and so maybe it helped a little, I don't know. And my mom was a prescription drug abuser. And so when she was good, she was really good, and she made these wonderful meals. Then everyone that served, our family did serve family style, and we had a little salad, and make a little fancy salad, and she'd make a green vegetable and a yellow vegetable and a potato and a meat and then dessert. It was all wonderful, and I thought it was. And we had a dog that sat and watched us eat and drool. I was like the dog. But then when she was sick into her drugs, we didn't get that, So I knew when she was well and loving us, that's how she showed it. And that's how I showed it. And that's how I do, I still today show you. Well, I own those restaurants, you know, and I love to sit at the cashier, at the cashiers and watch people eat, you know, and I can be fascinated for hours just watching them eat. And there's the triple biters, you know, they get the burger and it's three bites right in a row and then they chew and then it's three more right in a row and that burger's gone in no time, you know, I don't know. And I used to, you know, I think, well, that's bacon and eggs right there, you know. Yeah, they're going to have a waffle. You know, and I just try to guess what they're going to have, you know. And I'm still fascinated with that business. And, you know, I started this little waffle shop over in Catalina when I was 30 years old. That was 41 years ago. So, and I'm still fascinated with that little waffle shop. But I haven't had a waffle in probably, I don't know, 20 years, you know, a long time. And so that's kind of how food was. And I wasn't terribly, you wouldn't say, oh, she's obese or she's just a little chubby. You know, she could be a little chubby. And I think... one of the things that happened to me as I was in Catalina and this woman moved over there who taught yoga. And she was a little chubby too, now that I think about it. But she wanted to start a yoga class over there because she'd just moved over. And so she was trying to gather people to come to her class. And she kept talking to me. And then I thought, well, I'll try it, you know. And I started going to yoga and I went, and I liked it, and I went regularly, and she would say things like, treat your body like a temple, you know, and she would say, like if you were building a temple, you would get the finest materials and put in the temple to build the temple. But if you were just building an old shack on the beach, you'd have pieces of driftwood and just the old materials to build this temple or this shack on the beach. But your body is a temple, you know, and think about what you put in it. And I'd go home and I'd think, well, I don't think she means, I don't think she needs wine. That would be okay. And then everything else I ate, that would be okay. And it turned out, my addiction, my addictive personality ended up with alcohol. And I ended up wanting... It was summer of 1987, and it was going to be summer. It was actually April or May. And I saw a brochure about a place in San Diego that was all raw foods, and I heard you lose weight really fast, you know. And I always liked diets that I lose weight really fast. You know, I'm an extreme dieter. That means I eat, that liquid protein, I did that, and I did Dr. Stillman's water diet, and I did that other one where you eat a bunch of pineapple, watermelon, you know. What was that diet? That was great, I loved it. Because you can eat a whole watermelon, you know. The bigger the better, you know. Of course, you can sit on the toilet and pee and eat watermelon, you know. And I did. But anyway, this place was, that was in May of 87, and I saw this brochure, and someone from Catalina had been there, and I thought, I'm just going to go there. Now, drinking was a problem at that time, too, and so I had these two addictions going on, probably had more than that, you know, codependency also, but I thought I would hit the food addiction, you know, that was... more obvious. It showed on the outside, you know, to me, and it's not anyway. So I went to this place down in San Diego, and that year, that day was Mother's Day, May 10th, and when I got there, it's all this raw food, and it's wheatgrass, and you drank the wheatgrass, and they did colonics, and it was a, it, people went there that were really sick and had cancer or had diabetes, or I didn't have those things, but I was really sick, but I didn't know I was really sick. You know, I was sick. I was sick and tired of me. I was sick and tired of the way I felt, the way I lived. And by that time I was, you know, I'd work in the restaurant and act like I was normal, and then I went home and that was the end of my social life. I locked myself, you know, was at home alone, drinking and eating. And so I was down there and I was, you fast for 3 days that first week, and you have a lot of juice, so it was right up my alley, you know, because I like to fast and the weight's falling off, and you go through, I went through a detox, and most people do, and I was out on the lawn one day, and someone was looking for an AA meeting, and there was a place across the street, and I went to that meeting, and that was my first introduction to any kind of meeting or any, what I was looking for in food was a spiritual solution to an allergy, to a problem, a physical and mental problem. And that's what I found. And that's what I found in, this woman who was looking for an AA meeting, and I knew where there was one. It was across the street. And she looked at me and said, "Are you an alcoholic?" And I said, "I don't know," because I didn't really know, you know. I heard later, if you don't know, you probably are, because people that you know aren't, they know. People that are, they don't know. So anyway, I started going there, and then I ended up getting sober and vegetarian, see, because this is all raw foods. And I ended up, after I went to that meeting, I stayed in that place in San Diego. What, I went for 1 week and I stayed for three. So by the time I left there, they brainwashed me on that meat stuff, you know, that I saw. They showed movies about how chickens were raised and you know, a lot of things about meat that I didn't know and didn't want to know, and then I learned, so I lost, and after 3 weeks' time, maybe I lost my taste for meat, too. I was a meat eater, I used to cook in the restaurants when I first had the Walsh shop. I cooked there, and you know, you sausage and eggs, yeah, let's have them. You know, and any mistake I ate, you know, no problem. You know, I'd put, the order gets four sausages, so I'd put five, you know, one for the cook, for God's sake, you know. So anyway, then I, after I left there, I did try to eat meat. It just didn't go right. And I'd lost a lot of weight, and I thought, you know, I think that vegetarian stuff might be the answer here. And maybe for a minute it was, and then it wasn't. Because that's not, but the spiritual solution of the program, of the 12-step program, was helping me a lot, but it didn't really help with the food. You know, I eat fruit, a portion of fruit, before I eat a gallon of fruit or a big bowl of fruit, you know, and you can, when you have a restaurant, there's a lot of free food all around, you know, so anyway, left to my own vegetarianism, the compulsive eating continued, you know, then I was about, two or three years into that, into the no drinking and the spiritual solution, and I'm thinking that I could work the AA program with my eating, and that didn't go. And one night, I didn't know where you go, and I don't really even know how I heard of OA, but somehow I did, and I went to a meeting downtown Long Beach, and I didn't really, I wasn't person that joined Weight Watchers or anything like that. I'm going to just go to the doctor, get a shot or get some pills and take, you know, be kind of manage my own deal. And, which didn't work, you know. And, so I went to that OA meeting, and I think it was a HAL meeting. And, what I heard was that, don't leave here unless you have a sponsor. And usually when I got in places like that, I wanted to sneak out the back door because, you know, I don't want to sign up for anything. But by then I was familiar with the 12-step programs, and it was similar to me. And I knew that if I left there without getting a sponsor, nothing would change. You know, I'd be the exact same person that walked out of the room that walked in. And that was who I was running from. And that's who I didn't want to be anymore. And that was the life that was so uncomfortable to live in. That feeling that this one bite is going to fix something that I feel on the inside. And it never did. Not one bite or 10 or 20 or 30 or the whole thing. So anyway, I asked this girl to be my sponsor, Shirley Jones, and she was great. She worked for the post office, and she says, "When do you want to start?" And I picked November 1st, you know, the day after Halloween, you know. You wouldn't want to miss Halloween, and Catalina. Halloween is a big deal. All the kids in town are in the parade, you know. And everyone in town comes downtown and watches the Halloween parade. And then I thought, well, I'll watch that parade and then I'll go into Vaughn's and I'm just going to get whatever I want in Vaughn's and just, this is my last day of eating, you know. So I went through Vaughn's and I looked at the aisles and you know what? I couldn't find anything. And what I knew that there was nothing in Vaughn's that was going to fix me. And I think I was just already on my way. I was already going to do it. I didn't have to have that last Thanksgiving meal, you know, that I always had, you know. I like the extreme diets, and I'd go on them, and I'd eat right before. And then the jeans fit me, and then I'd have another meal at the end of the diet, you know, and that's, you know, all over and over and over again. And I know that you know all about eating, just like I do. And so I knew that nothing at Vaughn's was going to fix me, and the next day I started calling in my food to her, and three meals a day and nothing in between, and when I got scared in between or uncomfortable, I couldn't think I could stand it, then I called someone else and or drank water or, you know, and then I started taking my food to work, and which I still do. I still take my food to work but I don't call on the food anymore. And Shirley Jones, I don't know what happened to her, but we stayed in touch for quite a while. And I've had different sponsors over the years, and I've sponsored people, but I'm not really good at calling in my food, and I don't do that that program. And that my food has settled down. What I do know is it's not about the food; it's about me. Me trying to fix it. And I do have a God in my life. You know, when I got here, I didn't really have a God, a personal God, my God, that's looking out for me. There was a big God up there somewhere, but I certainly didn't think he saw me, you know. I heard someone say in these programs that maybe your God is too big, you know, that and maybe mine was too big before I got here. And now my God is my God. And I'm his favorite, you know. And I always want to be someone's favorite, you know. And so I have this relation. I like what Jim said a couple weeks ago to you, how that his sponsor said, "Well, you better start praying," when he was going to start eating, you know. And then he thought, "Well, what good would that do?" you know. And it does do good, doesn't it? It does do good when we ask for help out there, and when I get on the phone and ask for your help. And so that's pretty much how it's going today. And, you know, my food plan is pretty much the same thing every day. I do, like I've learned down in when I went to the vegetarian place down in San Diego to separate my foods. Like, that's the way I eat, and it's the way I want to eat. It's the way that feels best for my system. And my system is that I eat fruits alone. I eat them first in the day, and being a vegetarian, I eat a lot of things that had potassium, and I developed high potassium, and I corrected the high potassium with my diet and making adjustments with, like, everything that we think is good for us has potassium in it, you know. And so I still eat those things that I think are good for me, but maybe not as much of them, and stay away from bananas and broccoli or things that are high in potassium, and pick the middle of the road. So, you know, I'm always interested when people talk in OA of what they actually eat. That's what I really, because I'm a food person, you know, I'm in the food business. I want to know what's on the plate, you know. And, you know, when I walk in, I know food so well, but I can walk in. I have two restaurants, they're side by side, and there's two cooks, and, you know, I can walk in the front door and I can tell you who's cooking, because I can look at the plate and I can tell you who's cooking and who's in the at the lead and who's in the back. And because, you know, if it's a skinny guy in back, they're loaded with french fries, and if it's he's in front, then anyway, I don't have to explain that all to you. But what I eat is I have half an apple in the morning, and then I have oatmeal, and I put cinnamon, and I put honey in it, and then I put, I don't have nuts because they're high in potassium, and so I have sunflower seed. It's sunflower seed butter, nut butter, that I put a tablespoon on top. So that's my breakfast, and it's very filling and very satisfying. I have it every day, and, you know, if at the restaurant, I eat that there, and they always save me it if I'm eating after they pull it from the thing, and got my oatmeal going on. And then the lunch, of course, varies, but I always have with every meal every meal I try to have some sort of raw food, you know, some sort of raw food. And sometimes I eat more smaller meals, or sometimes my day just is two meals. And I drink water in between, and I don't have Cokes or Diet Cokes or, you know, I try to, what I'm eating, to be good for me and have food value. And I don't eat white flour or white sugar or, every now and then I'll think I have a bright idea that I could have carrot cake. I mean, after all, it's carrots. You know, they had, where were we someplace and they had that carrot cake. Oh, is I in it thinking, I think that's it, you know. But that's how my mind works. I get these bright ideas like, I never thought of that. You know what? I've thought of it 1,000 times. But but it's a tricky deal goes on up there, doesn't it? You know, and but it does bring me back to that carrot cake is. The minute I have the carrot cake, I don't really care about you. I don't care what you're saying, because I'm wondering, what I'm caring about is what happens to the rest of the carrot cake. You know, who's having it? And if I could just have one more, then I could talk to you. But now, you've lost, you know. I read recently, I've been reading this book. It's A Way to Love, it's called. It's a little book by Anthony DeMilo. But anyway, he says, like, that we're all in love and just don't know. But anyway, he said, picture yourself going to a concert, and this beautiful music is playing, and you're enjoying the music, and all of a sudden you think, I think I forgot to lock my car. And you're way up, you can't leave the concert, and you can't enjoy it anymore. And that's just how I am when I have the bite of carrot cake. Or when I'm looking at your carrot cake and thinking, I think I could have that. You know, now I can't hear the music anymore. And I can't enjoy it. That's what stops me from enjoying my life, when I'm focusing on that outside thing that I'm gonna that's gonna fix something on the inside that didn't even feel bad until I had the bright idea. You know, I was all okay on the inside before that, but once that obsession gets going and takes over me, then it starts running me around, ruining me and stealing from me. I try not to entertain those notions that it's going to fix anything or it's going to change anything. And I can play it through to know the end result, that one bite's not going to be enough, one slice is not going to be enough, and there I go again, you know. So that's just about it, how I live my life. And I'll give 10 minutes to your questions. Have any questions? Is that how it goes? Questions? Okay.
I'm curious. Thank you so much. I thoroughly got so much out of your share. I wanted to ask, how have you been able to not use your restaurant as a form of compulsive overeating there?
Watching other people do it. No, but I take my food.
Okay.
Yeah, I take my food. And I don't eat anything that falls off of anyone's plate, you know. And I don't eat. I used to eat off a plate. They leave a half a sandwich, or a fourth, you know. But I don't do that.
Do you feel a constant temptation?
No, not at all. Not at all. Just like that. Steak doesn't, you know, I don't eat steak, so, yeah. No, I don't. Isn't that good? You know, I didn't do that either. I didn't do that. God did that for me.
Hi, thank you so much. How do you keep your program fresh and alive?
Well, talking to you, probably. Talking to you, going to meetings. Jim, my partner there, he keeps it fresh and alive, you know, sharing this program with each other, and food is just a huge part of my life, you know. So I'm real interested in food, and I'm real interested in it being good for me, food, healthy food. So I guess that's how And having God direct my life, you know, going to that third step. And thanks.
Hi, Sally. Thanks so much for coming this evening. I wanted to ask you about your working the 11th step, your conscious contact with your higher power, and how that has grown and changed over your time and program.
I like to meditate, and I have a little meditation cushion, and I sit on it, and I usually meditate for about 15 minutes. And I sponsor some women, and sometimes they come over and we meditate together. Or I still do yoga real regularly, and there's a meditation in that. And yoga to me, and I meditate in exercising. Jim talks about that, but it just quiets my, a meditation is just not thinking, you know, and letting, for me, it's like stilling my mind enough so God could talk to me rather than me doing all the talking, you know. And because there's a bunch of, it's like a beehive up there, you know. And I had to just settle down, guys, you know. And I do that on meditation at home, 15 minutes, not every day and maybe not regularly. But it's like the internal guide that says, I think you need to meditate. You know, you need to sit there in that place and just, and like when I go to yoga, she puts on this music, zoom, zoom kind of music, and I'm just, okay, I'm there. That, like, okay, that's what, now this means quiet down here. Still your mind, just hear the music, and it, to me, it's when I can see this third eye and see a color there. And if I close my eyes, then I can, and I'm aiming to get a purpley color, you know. And so when I start focusing on trying to get that purpley color, then the next thing I know, you know, that I've been there for a while. And, you know, I listened to this meditation tape, and she says that sometimes she meditates for an hour. You know, that's a long time. And then the gong goes off, and she says, I've been thinking the whole time. You know, you know, all this, if you're meditating, all of a sudden you're in the middle of Trader Joe's or something. And, you know, you're like, yeah, how did you get there? And but anyway, she says she realized she's been thinking, and then she's got one more minute. And she meditates for that minute, and when she gets finished, she says, well, I had an hour of meditation, and I got 1 minute of my mind being still. That's pretty good, you know? And so that's what she says to herself. Pretty good, pretty good. And so that's what I say to myself. Well, you were pretty busy today. Pretty good, you know? And instead of beating myself up, you know, anyone can do that. Anyone can do that. I'm real good at that, and I know that probably most people in this room are real good at finding what's wrong with us, you know. So.
Thank you so much for your share. I can't believe you're 71. That's amazing. You look fabulous. What do you, I don't know if this probably doesn't happen to you anymore, but what do you do or did you do when you stayed home alone and eating sounds better than anything else or any other possible plan you could have?
Oh, yeah, I hate those. Isn't that the worst? Oh, God. If it's the daytime, I give myself a time limit. Then I have to be out of the house by 4:30 to go on a walk. And I, you know, that time is awful. That time when I'm home alone, I only got me, and I can't think of, it's boredom. For me, it's boredom, you know. And so I have a time limit at 4:30. I got to get out of the house, and you know, I just step out the door. I get to my front gate, and I think, what was I thinking? There's a whole world out here, you know. And sometimes I like count my steps. You know, I only get to 12, and then I go. And then I forget I'm counting, you know, and so I'm not counting to 175 or anything, you know, but to try and kind of get into the walk and to pay attention, to be in my world, to be looking at. And you know what I like about being outside is I feel real small. You know, I get myself small. And look at the ocean or the sky, bigger things in me. And then by the time I get home now, I've settled down. You know, but I know that feeling. And I know that feeling at night, you know, that's how I ate. I wanted to be home alone. I would rather be home alone than to be out with you, because now I could do it my way. You know, and I didn't want you to see me. When I was with you, I acted like, you know, I don't know how I got this heavy. you know, I just magically appeared. But I know that's an inside feeling. That's an inside feeling. And you could always invite God to go on a walk with you. You know, but for me, I have to get out of the house. Because sitting at home alone on that couch is not going to make me feel better. It's going to make me feel worse.
Thank you.